Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, let's head out to Oxnard where the shoddy presser is in motion.
About just yourself and getting revenge and whatever that is the standard. And the standard is play on the edge, do the things you're supposed to do. But at the end of the day, it's about winning. And because of that, you have to put the team first. I do. I mean, I think, you know, we've always had a very talented roster. We have a very talented roster right now. You know, you can take the road of, oh, hey, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And, you know, screw that. We're not doing that. Like, we're going to have hard conversations. That's the way this culture is built. And, yeah, you know, I agree with what CD said. And, you know, it takes discipline to win a world championship. And that is the goal. That is the objective. And we've, like I said, in most of our practice, we've had that discipline. We lost it a little bit yesterday, so the players, therefore, had to be reminded about it.
Until the LLS Cowboys, you brought a world championship. That was ISCD. What was the PC version of your message? And it was basically, do you want to be champions? Can you expound on being champions and how that plays out in this discipline?
Yeah, I think, Clarence, just how hard it is, man. I mean, how hard it is to win a championship. And the difference between being a champion and coming in second or getting to the playoffs and not winning or not qualifying for the playoffs. I mean, this is a National Football League. You realize, we all realize how talented everybody is in this league. But there's an edge that's created. And some of the best teams I've been on, they have that discipline. They have the edge to be able to play a certain way, physical brand of football that we're going to play, where we're attacking and we're playing to the echo of the whistle. But I talk very openly with these guys. You know, I'm honest with them. I tell them how I feel. Am I always right? Nope. Sometimes I go and I'm saying, I ripped that guy's ass and, you know, he didn't really deserve it. And then I take accountability for it. So we as a coaching staff, we're no different. If our energy's low out there, we're not doing what we're supposed to do and the drills aren't set up the right way, and you know, then I'll get on them as well. And we have to be better at times as well. It's not just the players, but what we're trying to do and what we're expecting to do is extremely, extremely difficult. And you know, if you don't think about it, talk about it, and prepare for it every day, then you're going to get behind.
Nate Thomas, first day out, how did he look?
Did good, solid. I think both he and Awesome did a good job. Today we'll find out a little bit more. Their assignments were really good yesterday. They were, you know, really good on that. Being in pads today will help. You know, you get a little bit more of an evaluation in pads. But I would say both those guys are good. It's the ops to be with, you know, with Dak and hear some of the communication things that he does. That, you know, for a young player, he hasn't been with him, and some of the mannerisms and things that are a little different maybe than what Joe and Will do is good for a young player to hear.
Brian Todd Archer with ESPN. Calling plays, doing it out here, it's been a while since you've done that. What's that been like for you?
It's great. You know, definitely knocking some of the rust off. You know, I got a personnel grouping wrong yesterday in one of the call-it periods. Got a formation wrong in a different period, so sometimes that happens, but you do it now. That's why you do move the balls. If you just script everything in practice, Todd, it's like easy. You're reading plays, and so I think it's good for me. But I think, you know, doing it for 14 of the past, whatever, 18 years, it's something that you pick up on it pretty quick. And I think, again, the fact of Dak and I, you know, our working relationship and we've been together for a couple years now, that definitely helps. But you definitely knock the rust off. And it's definitely a little bit competitive, and you want to win the drill, but at the same time, you know, there's a flow and a rhythm, and it's a little harder because not everybody's got, you know, the personnel groupings. The head coach or the coaches don't have on their personnel or their headset, so they can't hear the personnel. You got to yell that out. So it's all good practice for the preseason and beyond.
And then we've asked you a bunch about the running backs and how it's going to play out. Do you have a preference? I mean, I know when you had the Jets, it was Thomas Jones carried it 300 times, but then when you're in Seattle, you had, you know, I think one year, three different running backs carried more than 90 times or something like that.
Yeah. I don't. I really don't have a preference. I think you have to look at your roster when we get closer to opening day, and you look at it and you say, okay, what are we looking at? You know, I think in Seattle you're talking about, you know, Chris Carson and J.D. McKissick, C.J. Procise. We had Rashad Penny. I mean, we've had a number of guys. I think you're always trying to build a very competitive room, but to make a decision today of do I have a preference? Nope. It's just it's kind of what works and what fits your personnel, and it's still too early to tell, but I really like where we're at from a running back standpoint. I've mentioned again to you Hunter Lepke and his versatility, and he got some carries yesterday, which is great. And so we feel like that stable of backs that we've built is a really fun competition to keep an eye on, not just through training camp, but into the preseason and beyond.
Yeah, I'm sure with the Athletic, did some of that red zone work, some nice catches from George and CD, just kind of where do you think those two are so far?
No, I think they're both doing good. You know, we definitely want to do a little bit more red zone emphasis these next couple days. The first install, we were a little bit, not off, but behind in some things and not real clean. So that's why we did that red zone period. You know, yesterday we adjust our practice schedule some based off of what we need and, you know, get together with the coordinators every night and say, hey, let's maybe add this period, let's add that period. But CD's having an incredible camp. That's what he does, the way he's practicing, the intensity he's practicing at. I think I've mentioned that many times before. When some of your best players practice the hardest, it sets the standard, and no one below them can not meet that standard. And so I think he's really bought into that. He's excited about that. And whether it's short, long, wherever it is, you watch him finish with the ball, and that's terrific. And then GP, I thought, you know, he did a really nice job yesterday. You know, he had the deep ball a couple days ago on the far field, the wall field, as we call it, and then a couple things in the red zone yesterday. Just those two guys being on the same side is very difficult for a defense to handle.
And then with Trayshon Holden had a nice one-handed grab back there. What have you thought of him?
So yeah, far? Great catch. Yeah, he's doing a really good job. Obviously, he has a little bit of a experience with junior, and so I think that helps. But ball skills are terrific. He's got good size. He plays the game the right way, and it's always exciting when you see young guys step up and make plays, especially in those tight red zone areas where there's not a lot of space to work with.
Nick Harris, four-star Telegram. Obviously, you guys have had a lot of success in finding the spring league guys over the last couple of years. You have a couple more here in camp that have played well. What do you think works so well for you guys to be able to find the right fits here in the spring?
Well, I think, you know, it never stops, as you know, Nick. I mean, 365, 24/7. You know, the scouts are out here. What I love about having the scouts and personnel guys out here is literally we have a trailer, they have a trailer. It's so easy for us to communicate about what we want. I think the more we're around the personnel guys, they learn even more, like what, you know, Dave Borgonzi wants in linebackers, or, you know, what Andre Curtis is looking for with the secondary pieces. And I think that definitely helps. But, there's communication, and then you bring the guys in, and there's a workout. But we don't just go off the workout. We go off the film. We go off the UFL tape and not just the workout. Guy might have a bad day. Guy might, you know, maybe guy didn't sleep well the night before. He got in late. So, you know, the workout when we bring guys in is just part of the process. But I'd say the bigger thing is the comprehensive piece of, okay, what's the film look like? What do we think about him coming out in college if it's a relatively younger player? And then certainly, you know, how they moved around in the workout.
Since Kenneth Murray's been out, what have you liked about the linebackers stepping into increased roles?
Marist doing a great job. I mean, Jack, you know, Sanborn's been, you know, awesome. I think, you know, the last 2 days ago or so, the last day in pads, Shamar James was, you know, really fast dissecting things and making plays. But again, I think, you know, Gonzo is a hell of a coach, and he's been around Flus for a long time. Those guys work really well together in that room. Those guys are extremely well coached, but it's the instincts. It's the instincts. It's the ability to dissect things, the ability to make plays and show up in a hurry. And, that jumps out when you watch the film.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, gave Jaden Blue some run with the ones yesterday. What did you think of that, and what has he done up to this point to earn those reps?
Well, we're competing every day. You guys are seeing us move guys around. You know, Jay, is getting some reps with the first team defensive lineman, and, you know, talked a little bit about Jaden and how he's kind of really picked up just the confidence and the understanding of what we're trying to do and the understanding of the preparation and things like that. And when guys do that, you reward them. You reward them when they do that. And if it's not to that standard, then, you know, there's consequence as well, and moving guys around. But the quickness and the ability to accelerate in the hole, I keep going back to that, it's just different. I mean, he's got incredible lateral agility and quickness, and when he jump cuts or moves laterally, he's able to get to top speed in a hurry, and he doesn't need a lot of space. You know, he reminds me of a smaller, he's a larger version, a smaller player, but, you know, the quickness and acceleration of Darren Sproles, and I don't use that lightly. I mean, Darren was freaky with his quickness and acceleration and speed, and I think Jaden has some of those traits in terms of just he's electric when he gets the ball, and what I really like about him more than anything is probably the way I see him working in between the tackles. You know, he's not just a perimeter player. He's a guy that can run in between the tackles in the A gaps with gap schemes, things like that, and still be extremely productive.
A guy in college that only had one game of 18 or more offensive touches. Do you feel like in the NFL he can be a guy who has 20, 25 a game week by week?
Yeah, I think so. I don't see there's any reason not to. Again, I don't want to certainly put any limitations on him. I mean, you know, they've had some good backs at Texas that he played alongside and with, and you know, a couple of them are the best in the league right now, or arguably the best in the league, talking about Bijan and guys like that. But, yeah, I have no reason to think that he doesn't have the ability to impact games with us. What that play number is exactly, I don't know. I won't put a number on it, but we have no reason to think he can't do that.
Joe Hoyt, Dallas Morning News. Obviously, you got a lot of weapons in the passing game. As a play caller, how do you balance who is first in the progression, or, hey, in this time we want to get a ball? Pickens on this route, how do you kind of balance that?
Well, obviously each play that we have has, you know, a progression, you know, whether, you know, it's a true progression where you have a starting point that's defined and you're putting a guy in that spot and that's the first read. If he's closed or not open, you go to the next guy, and then the next guy, you just basically work across the read. But like when we're doing move the ball periods, I literally look in the huddle and I call plays for people. Like, that's kind of the way that I work. I'm going to call plays based on who's in the huddle. So if I look in the huddle and, okay, hey, I got CD and George, and I got a lot of options, or, hey, I want to get a ball to Ferg. You know, I think that that's the best play callers do that. You go in with a plan. You go in with a game plan of, hey, what you want to attack in certain areas. But at the end of the day, you know, just – based on who's in the huddle, who's feeling it. Some guys just, they're feeling it, man. It's like, that guy's playing great. Then you call plays that you know he's high up in the priority of the quarterback's read. But the quarterbacks, they have to be unbiased, and they have to, you know, trust their progression and read their progression. And then there's other reads that we have where they have a choice to work one side or the other, and it's based off of not just matchup, but coverage tells and techniques and what's the safety doing and is it too high, is it one high? All very, you know, complicated stuff.
We think a lot externally about who's an X, who's a slot, who's a Z. We've seen CD and George kind of doing a lot of motion. How interchangeable, I guess, are they at this point?
Yeah, we don't really believe in the X, Z, you know, H, whatever you want to call those positions in the nomenclature. It's like, hey, man, we have an offense and we have concepts, and you have to know the full concept. And if you get stuck at this spot, then you should know what to do if you get stuck at that spot. And that's the expectation to all of our guys from the very beginning. So, you know, I don't think any of them, you know, really worry about it. They'll play all the positions which you've seen, and then of course the ability to move them around makes it incredibly difficult on the defense to find them and then match up with them.
Bill Jones, CBS Sports Texas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Does your wife watch your press conferences? And if so, did she have any reaction to your comments from yesterday?
She's kind of busy right now getting my daughter ready to go off to college, figure out what empty nesting is going to look like. I don't know if she saw that, but I think she would not be surprised. The temper that I showed yesterday, she has kind of a temper like that at times. But thanks for bringing that up, because now it's not one day and the news is gone. Now it's the second day. So if she missed it yesterday, she definitely knows. Honey, don't watch yesterday's press conference if you are listening.
I'm Mike Ducey, Fox 4. CD talked yesterday about how much he admires Dak in the way that he can shut out the exterior noise, social media and the like. As now as a head coach, obviously you'll be hearing some noise that you've never had to deal with before. Have you gotten advice from anybody as to how to best deal with that exterior noise in the new position?
Well, I think it's great that CD recognizes that. I think, you know, we all deal with noise. I mean, it's part of the life that we've chosen. This is a huge brand, the biggest brand in all of professional sports, and we welcome that. We don't shy away from that. But it's cool for CD to recognize his brother and say, hey, you know, Dak handles a lot. But, you know, in terms of my situation, I'm pretty transparent. I'm who I am. And when we win, you know, there'll still be things that you know, I'll want to improve. And when we lose, there'll be things that we have to fix. But the noise, I think growing up with a dad that was a head coach, that definitely helps. You know, kind of what you're walking into. But, you know, again, our focus is truly on the men in that locker room, the coaches, the players. And, you know, we just want to win. And we want to win for each other. And when we do that, the noise will be less. But there's always going to be noise.
I guess you don't have a lot of time for social media. Do you
no. I really don't. Not much. I ask the players from time to time kind of what's going on. But, no, not really. I've got a couple you know, 20-year-old kids, so they send me things I try to open. Sometimes I can't open them because I'm not on Instagram or some of those things, TikToks, those things like that. I'm like, hey, I can't open it. What is it? You know, and they're like, ah, never mind. So I'm like, okay, I just move on to the next thing.
Mike Leslie, WFA. I know he's been a little bit in and out because of his wife and his new baby and whatnot. What have you seen from Deron Bland so far, both from a football perspective as well as taking on maybe more of a vocal role in that quarterback?
Yeah, locked in. I mean, he really is. The flexibility. He's like what we were talking about with the receivers, you know, George and CD. And, you know, Deron can play anywhere. He can play corner, field corner, boundary corner. He can play nickel. I would say he's locked in. You know, Deron is a quieter personality, and that's great. I mean, he's an incredible young man. But, like, he leads more by example. Is he a leader? Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't watch Deron practice without going, okay, that guy gets it. That guy's really, really good. But again, I go back to what I always say. We want these guys to be themselves and be authentic. And he communicates. He might not be as loud as, say, Kemon Hall or somebody like that. But, like, he's a great communicator. But in terms of leadership and leading by example, Deron is right up there at the top of the list, man. Just his work ethic, his professionalism. The love and passion for the game of football is top-notch.
Relative to the versatility that you mentioned that he has, it feels like this is a year where maybe you need that more with the absence of Jordan Lewis. Where is he in that evolution? I know he did it his rookie year, but now it's kind of circling back to that in some regards.
Yeah, very comfortable. I was actually talking to him about it the other day. You know, he's got a great feel. He, you know, can play all those spots. We're going to move him around. We do a lot of things from a disguise element, which is good. So you can see him even in a game playing different spots. You might see him in one nickel package where he's playing the boundary corner, and then you might see him in another nickel package where he's playing in the slot. And there'll be times we're matching people up on certain receivers, and he'll be following a guy. Like, but that's the flexibility that a great player like Deron has. And not only that, but he owns that. He wants to do that. He wants to be in those positions to try to take away an opponent's best players.
Christy Scales, Cowboys Radio, 105.3 The Fan. I want to go back to Nate Thomas for just a moment because he played left tackle in college, but when he came in here last year as a rookie, been playing guard, and I think it's to your point about power in the run game and moving the dot and stuff, and yet when he came back here now he's tackle. So was that something that you and Connor saw in him to move him back to tackle, or more what you had personnel wise on the inside?
Great question, Christy. It, you know, when he came here, obviously we had Tyler, you know, Guyton. We had drafted Guyton, obviously had Terrence on the other side, and we did see a big, powerful guard. I mean, you know, the ability to keep the pocket firm for the quarterback and get movement and displacement in the run game is really, really important. But just watching Nate work and prepare this offseason, seeing him train and seeing the length and the size that he has, and actually his feet for a 330-plus-pound man, it was probably the second or third day of OTAs. We were like, hey, we need to put him outside, you know, and see what he can do. And when we watched it that very first day, we were like, whoa. Like, it literally jumped off the film. We were like, okay. And if you talk to Nate, you know, he's like, hey, coach, I'll play wherever. But I'm probably most comfortable playing left tackle, and that's kind of what he has the most experience playing. But it did jump off the film at us when we kind of, you know, moved him out. And then we're like, okay, well, let's leave him out there for a while, because sometimes with a young player, they all are going to be moved around and have to be put in spots to learn and have flexibility. But when we moved him out there, we're like, hey, let's let him focus on one spot for a while. And I think that helped him with his confidence. And, of course, now he's getting the opportunity to run with the ones. And I think he'll do a great job in that role.
Just a quick follow-up on that with trying to stay locked in, but like a jumbo package. I know Austin was doing a lot of that early here with Nate being.
Yeah, he has that type of athleticism. We've got a number of guys that we've rolled in there. Sadiq Charles doing a great job. Awesome does a great job. You know, could Nate do that? Absolutely. TJ Bass is getting some work at that. And so, yeah, but he has the traits definitely to do that.
Kyle Young with Dallas Cowboys TV. There are different philosophies throughout the league when it comes to divvying up snaps and rewarding certain guys, or if you keep it as a string competition top down. You mentioned with Jaden Blue earlier, him earning those first team reps. Is that a philosophy you've always believed in? Is that that element of, if you're doing it right, you should still be rewarded, even though it may not be a permanent switch?
Absolutely. I think, you know, these guys, they're going to compete every day. That's the way they're wired. That's the central theme of the program. They're going to do that. But if they're making strides and doing great things and they're not getting the opportunity to move up a depth chart, then I would imagine, I haven't asked them, but I would imagine you'd get pretty frustrated. Man, I'm doing all these great things. Coach keeps giving me compliments in the film room and all those different things, but yet I'm still sitting here and doing things. And, you know, when we kind of break off in the evening times, we do what's called two spots. So we literally have basically the entire team working. So ones will go on one field, twos will go on another field, and they'll work against each other. And, you know, we consistently move guys around from one to two. And I think that that's important, that, okay, if I'm doing good and I'm making strides to be better and I'm keeping the standard and I'm showing up on film, the coaches mean what they say. If you compete every day, you're going to be rewarded for that. And so I think he's done that, and he's not the only one, you know. So, but I don't think if you don't do that, then I think the players look at you and they're like, well, I'm doing all this stuff, and why am I still over here on field two, or why am I running with a third team? And you don't want that.
In talking with former players from Pete Carroll's system in the past too, he's been very advocating toward that as well. Was there an instance maybe in your time under Pete where there was another player like that that earned his opportunity and made it a permanent switch?
You know, there were so many with Pete, just because, I mean, you know, Pete, you know, is such a competitive guy, and we did it all the time. A name doesn't jump out at me, but like it was all the time, and it was pointed out. And, you know, today, you know, when you're looking at some competitive stuff, right, we're going to do, you know, some one-on-one stuff, and we have scripted matchups. We want to see certain guys work against certain guys. And why? Because there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. And so I think that's one of the things that when you're looking at your roster, okay, you know, how do we let these guys truly compete? And so it doesn't change, and it should be a fun thing for the fans to watch. I'm thrilled that it's Hero Appreciation Day. You know, we got a bunch of first responders, a bunch of active military people here, these people that, you know, literally get a chance to come out and hopefully, you know, feel our love and excitement and, you know, for what they do for us and for our families. And so it should be a hell of a day. A little two-hour practice with pads on, some one-on-one, so it should be a great day.
Hey, Coach. Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. You touched on it a bit, and it's impossible to not notice him taking first-team reps. He's a very large human being, Jay Thoya. What are you seeing from him?
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So far as what stands out the most, be it his quickness for his size, whatever the case may be, and what kind of impact can he make for you as early as year one?
The size, the pad level, it was funny. I was talking to Cooper Beebe, and We were doing some different things yesterday, and a couple times Jay got on Cooper's right hand, which is his snap hand, and I was asking him about it. He's like, that's a large man shooting the gap. And, yeah, I'm going to get my hand there, but like, that's a big, powerful guy. But I think the pad level he's playing with right now, Patrick, is really impressive, and he's just a talented guy, man, talented guy that's, you know, still learning the system. But when you have a guy like that that can penetrate and be disruptive and – but it was funny for me to hear Cooper talk about it. You know, like, he felt it like, whew, that's tough.
That is the Brian Schottenheimer press conference right here on 105.3 The Fan at Cowboys training camp in Oxnard. Brought to you by on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, the Rangers have made a move. We do it next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we'll have the G-Bag Nation coming up here in about 10 minutes. We'll chat with them about what's going on this afternoon in practice, as we heard from Brian Schottenheimer just moments ago. During the press conference, I was having a conversation about Warzone with Atolo, and Fred was having a conversation about milk.
That's right.
It seems like you've found a new milk. Is that what we're happening?
Well, here? No. Now that I wasn't sure. He said something about this 1836 milk, and then when he said it's an HEB, I do recall that because it's in a glass jar.
Ah.
But because I live in Louisville, shout out to all my folks in the Ville, we have no HEB.
Oh. Yeah, your nearest one would be Frisco, Plano area right now.
I'm more of a Walmart and Target guy.
Yeah, that's what we were. We still are.
Yeah.
We still are. Kroger, right around the corner. I'm famous at Tom Thumb.
I've heard. I heard you are Tom Thumb famous.
Yeah, that is that's kind of what I hang my hat
humble
on.
Humble brag.
In the neighborhood. Yeah. It's always nice to see my friends out there. The Rangers have made a move.
Ruh-roh.
Yes, this is nice to hear.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
But it's a very small move. The Rangers traded Cody Hewer to the Tigers for cash consideration.
Oh.
He had been, according to Jeff Wilson and multiple other people, very good at Triple A Round Rock, but his minor league contract carried enough money that the Rangers didn't want to call him up because that would have put a dent in their cushion.
Okay.
And so they were like, well, we can trade him, and it's not a lot of cash that they're getting back.
Yeah.
However, it is something that they get back, gives them a little more to work with in their pool. Let's go ahead and add to that. I saw John Morosi was on MLB Network, and he did say that the Rangers have been keeping tabs on David Bednar's market. So the Pittsburgh Pirates reliever, who's also being sought after at the Yankees, which they might have a little more room to work with.
Yeah.
It really kind of depends on what kind of situation they work with here, but the hours will be ticking down. And Chris Young.
What time is the deadline over?
Five p.m. Central or 6 p.m. Central today. I was looking earlier today, and let's go check that out real quick. MLB trade deadline debt.com. And is that a .com place?
It's 5 Central.
5 Central.
O'clock.
Yeah. So,
on the dot.
As I was thinking. So 5 Central. This is crazy. One of my best friends, his birthday is today. Yeah. And my father-in-law's birthday is today as well. And they wore the same number in high school. That's wild. Happy birthday to both of you fellas. And it's on the trade deadline day. What a wonderful birthday that is right there, man.
You know whose birthday was yesterday, don't you?
2 days ago was my sister's.
3 days ago was Fred Two's.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, Fred Two, 69. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. And he probably would. He probably did. He smokes a lot of reefer.
Okay.
Yesterday. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Really?
Maybe the greatest naturalized American of all time.
And natural muscles.
Well.
That is not true.
Mostly.
All right, guys. I just saw this story. I wanted to jump in on this because this is quite fun. Costco is selling discounted two-ticket packages for between $49 and $99 for
Live and Collective Soul.
Louisville. South Carolina, Purdue, UVA, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Tulane, UConn, and it appears more college as well. But they're doing it quietly. Like if you have a Costco membership, you walk by and you see the logo, and it's a small two-ticket package for a pretty good price
Yeah, it really is.
That's really awesome.
It's not bad.
If you have, we just got the Costco membership. My wife was like, we're getting one. I was like, all right, whatever. So,
I would think with the brood, with the majors brood, that would be a no-brainer.
Yeah, those kids eat a lot.
I was going to say, I would think with them, you got three hellions at the house that can't stop, won't stop.
They absolutely will not. One of them, football, he's like, oh, I got to blame it on football that I have to eat. And then the other one, he's just like always on the go. But he's also the one now that's like, what kind of oil is that cooked in? Is that lean protein right there? And I'm like,
yeah.
That being said, he did get pretty jacked, so I'm pretty proud of him for that.
Hey,
so that's nice.
Look, it's all about the journey.
You know what, Fred? You're dead on about that. No. It is all about the journey and the friends we make along the way. That's what I've been telling people.
One Costco gripe, though, because I also have predominantly for the milk, if I'm being honest. What do I need that much bulk for? Okay, I'm one man. All right, do I need 5 gallons of peanut butter? No, I don't. I really don't. That said, the gas is kind of a ripoff. Well, I mean, in the sense that it's either really discounted or Walmart has it for the same price. A little upset about that. So
from the 682, I'm sorry, but you guys have to say this. It's now or never for Chris Young and the Rangers. This is their chance to put the narrative that the team was lucky and it was a fluke for the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. As of now, I will stick to my opinion. Rangers need to prove that they're still good and it wasn't a fluke. Until then, 2010-2011 team would smoke by that team by a mile. That 2010-2011 team was amazing.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. They did not win the World Series against, I guess you go back to the 10 team against Bochy. That was a buzzsaw with San Francisco.
Yeah.
Go back to that St. Louis team. The St. Louis team caught a little bit of fire. They were a good team too.
Yeah.
But you're right. That Rangers team at that time, John Daniels knew it. He even said it now. He was like, I felt like we were the best team in baseball at the time, but they didn't win the World Series.
And that's the beauty of sport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, you have to get lucky in some cases to win a championship. And when you look at that 2023 Rangers team, everything that needed to go right did go right. And that's what makes, I mean, let's not pretend like that wasn't a good baseball team. You don't win 90 games by accident,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't unseat maybe the best team of the last decade. And I know that sucks to say that out loud for Dallas people, but I mean, I was in Houston at the time. Like, you knocked off the champ.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, let's call it, for all intents and purposes, that was the World Series.
That was an awesome series.
Like, that was high drama, and you were doing it against your in-state rival.
Dude, I'll be honest. Like, I don't know how you were feeling during that series.
I had actually almost gotten to a car accident that nearly killed me in game five. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was listening to it with half my brain. No, I'm kidding. But I literally had one of the worst concussions.
Oh,
like,
man.
My head hurts just thinking about it.
I watched the whole series at the house.
Yeah.
But I was so nervous every day.
Oh,
every day I would
absolutely.
Wake up just nervous about what was going to happen. That I couldn't wait. I was giddy.
Yeah.
I was so pumped for it. And it turned that, you're right. That was the feeling of the World Series there. It was an absolute blast. And hopefully the Rangers can get back to that. Okay, hold on.
Ruh-roh. You think that move set up something else?
John Morosi is now reporting. The Pirates and Rangers have spoken about Bednar.
Okay.
As he reported earlier, Texas also is a potential landing spot for outfielder Tommy Pham, who will likely be moved for the third trade deadline in a row. So as that could be a bat that you could add to
Hope
it.
He's
like,
renting.
It's not necessarily a power bat, but is a on-base bat, has some speed to go along with it.
And
he wants
he's a mercenary.
He wants Slapjack Peterson, I believe.
Well,
I might need
to slap him again because anything to get this guy in the right frame of mind. But again, you know, the nice thing about a guy like that, though, is he knows what to expect.
Yeah.
Right? He's a hired gun. He's a mercenary. Like, look, I'm not here for a good time. Or excuse me, I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
Yep.
Boom, done.
Yeah. No, that's... So keep an ear out on what the Rangers are trying to accomplish here. We will try and keep you updated. And if they don't do anything before 2:00, the G-Bag Nation will absolutely have you covered through that while they're also covering Cowboys camp out in
Oxford. Damn, he's 37?
Yeah, he's an old man. But then again, I'm older than him, so I'm an old man as
Tommy
well.
Tommy Pham expect to be traded after cursing out Giants fans.
All right, so he's cursed out some fans.
Okay.
He slapped a teammate once over fantasy football. And then we beat him in the World Series.
A little bit of a volatile personality.
That's kind of fun as well. Don't forget, next week, August 7th, at Jake's, State Highway 78, Sachse, you will get your opportunity for Fan Phenom, which is back. We've had plenty of dudes come through here and have their opportunity, win Fan Phenom. This is your chance also to get right in front of the boss, in front of Gavin Spittle, show him what you got. And then you get, hey, it could be the first step.
Have a hot stars take.
To a career. Yeah, have a hot start. Mm-hmm. I always say this.
Grease the skids.
Try and have about three sports that you can talk.
Yeah.
This is my suggestion. Have about three sports that you feel confident with and take control of it. Don't go in there and sit down and be like, I'm just here, y'all talk, and I'll listen.
Yeah, no.
Go in there and take control of that sucker, man, because that'll really impress the people who are keeping an eye on you. All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, time to chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it's time to chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by D&M Leasing. And gentlemen, I would ask you, how is you? But we have some breaking news happening right now regarding a potential Rangers closer. The New York Yankees, however, are finalizing a trade to acquire closer David Bednar from the Pittsburgh Pirates. The deal is pending medical review. So another one off the page.
Another one.
And it looked like the Rangers were kind of having a conversation about Bednar and Tommy Pham just before the break. And then right in the middle of the break, everything turned. We go to the G-Bag Nation for their instant thoughts.
Crap. Well, it kind of feels like we're getting
off.
Yeah, that. And maybe we're getting Scrooge McDucked here a little bit. I've been confident in the buildup, but now with all the activity that we've seen over the last 12, 18 hours, I think we're counting pennies over there and worried about how much is in our savings accounts, more while we're billionaires. We're playing in a stadium that the taxpayers built for you. Thanks, Ray.
Yeah. It's like Ray forgot how much money he can make when he wins a title and goes on big playoff runs and stuff.
Yeah, this happens every year. We can have Evaldi and DeGrom being co-Cy Youngs, right? Mm-hmm. We don't need to go for it this year. I might go into luxury tax territory. And then instead of taking wealth from the taxpayers, I will actually have to give something back. Can't do that. Mm.
Do you think then that that's it? Or do you think that CY still has a plan in action?
Can I throw a name?
I'm just starting to get worried.
Yeah.
Can I throw a name? Yeah, because my general manager buddy, if one of the other teams told me they could take some money on from the Braves for Ozuna.
Okay, that name's popped up a lot.
Yeah, they might look at that one. My guy,
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah,
two relievers, Jake Bird and Harvey. I mean, I saw the report about Harvey earlier today. Jake Bird, I think they've been monitoring all week long from Colorado.
Okay, that's another name then.
And see why we trust, guys, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, yeah. we got three. And Gavin, don't get me wrong. I'm with you 110% on that. As far as, I mean, look, Ray's worth $3.6 billion. All right,
yeah,
so
doing?
Do we really think, I mean, is he going to be hurting for cash if they tip into that? And again, it's easy for us to say that. It's not our money.
Nope.
But don't get opportunities like this very often.
We fill up the stadium. You know, you buy concessions.
Agreed.
You park. You you make money that way. You buy jerseys.
Merch.
All that stuff. That's how, I mean, if you want to show the ownership that, you know, hey, we care. We want you to spend. Go put your butt in a seat, and I think Ranger fans have done that.
I do trust CY though. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to get him a little bit more empowered. But the Jock Peterson deal is hanging over your head right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's the real
you ain't
reason.
Lying.
Yeah, he's probably a little shy on that one. Is it Tommy? How do you say
Tommy
Pham?
Tommy Pham. My guy told me this about Tommy Pham, by the way. Just as you want to know a little thumbnail about this guy. Because I asked, I said, he's a volatile personality who cares about winning and wants to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's used to hit left-handed pitching very well, but not as much this season. His defense is bad.
Okay.
That's what they said about this particular player.
I mean, he's 37 years old. I mean, just look at his Baseball Reference. The dude was with three teams last year. He is a
almost every logo.
Gun. Seriously, almost.
Almost every single logo.
You don't want to be in a fantasy football league with him.
Yeah, he will slap you if your name's Jock Peterson. And that's another thing, another question.
Don't we all kind of want to slap Jock Peterson? Peterson right now, though? I mean, you know what
might
I'm saying?
What he needs. Just slap him on his belly.
Well, I will say this. There is no other show that I would want to hear going down to the wire.
Agreed.
Than the G-Bag Nation as the trade deadline is coming down, and they're covering Cowboys camp at the same time. What do you fellas got coming up on the show, Graham?
Pure Gold, as always, Majors, yes. Thanks for asking. We do have three live mics coming up, 2:30, 2:40. We have Donovan Esaraku coming up today, 3:40.
Nice.
And, you know, obviously 3 hours till trade deadline. Jared Sandler's going to join us right on the other side of it there at 5 o'clock, hopefully unpacking some big moves for your Rangers. Love Go get them, CY.
There it is. G-Bag Nation, you can hear them for the rest of the day right there on 105.3 The Fan. Until tomorrow, we've been the KNC Masterpiece. Fred, thanks for rocking with me today. 100%. We'll be back at it tomorrow. We will. You've been Masterpiece. Bye.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.